We're on Killiney Strand, and the cliffs are very high. It's a stretch of water that's quite near Dublin, of course, as people would know. And it was picked because you can actually have line of sight from one end to another end of about a mile. So
Robert Mallett was an engineer by trade. He had a wide range of interests, but his real love was science. And he's particularly interested in earthquakes. In 1849, Mallett stepped onto Killiney Strand with a keg of gunpowder. He wanted to explode two things. The first thing was a myth.
At that stage, like, they had all kinds of crazy notions about earthquakes, and they believed it was the wrath of God. They didn't seem to put together, as Mallett did, that earthquakes seem to happen in certain parts of the world more than others. So the wrath of God would have been against more people in particular areas as opposed to other areas.
But Mallett had a hunch that earthquakes had something to do with moving rocks and waves of energy travelling through the ground. He even thought he could measure this. So that day on the beach, he did this. He exploded the gunpowder on one end of the beach in the hope that shockwaves would travel through the ground and be registered by a pool of mercury in a recording instrument a half a mile away. When the gunpowder exploded, he looked at the mercury and saw ripples.
That showed that they were directly linked, that the actual explosion had created something that had caused a movement of waves underneath the ground, travelled down the beach, and was recorded at the far end of the beach.
Having proved his theory that natural forces were behind earthquakes, Mallett wanted to study an actual aftermath. By making drawings of the destruction and recording how buildings fell, he might learn more about what caused earthquakes. The opportunity came in 1857. In December that year, the great Neapolitan earthquake hit southern Italy. 11,000 people died. Mallett obtained a grant from the Royal Society in London, and a few weeks later found himself on horseback, travelling through the decimated region. And he had a very unusual travelling companion.
He enlisted the help of a young man who had a very new, hot element of research for the time, and today we would laugh at it.
Tom Blake is the director of the Irish National Seismic Network.
But in those days, this was the most forefront technique in reporting and everything. This was the science of photography. Maybe we'll have a look at the map, yeah, and I'll show you the journey.
In 2007, Tom retraced Mallett's difficult journey through the devastated region.
It was very wet, it was damp, it was miserable. Put on top of that an earthquake, the third largest in the world, when 11,000 people are dead, and you have something near to hell.
Mallett's photographer diligently recorded this hell, and his sepia images are strangely beautiful records of heartbreaking destruction. Entire towns were reduced to whitewashed rubble under terracotta roofs.
But here you see the walls have crumbled totally, and of course the walls at the time wouldn't have been made with concrete, they would only have been made with a combination of ox blood and hair that caused them all to stick together.
Wow.
But I mean, not enough obviously to withstand the huge effects of an earthquake.
Mallett was a talented draftsman. He made dozens of incredibly detailed drawings of half-standing buildings.
And here is the drawing of the Certoso San Lorenzo in Padula.
This pen and ink drawing shows a side wall of a church. It looks like something an engineer or an architect would do today, and is covered in notes made in flowing italic handwriting.
All the cracks have been drawn in, and the angles are measured as well in relation to where he sees the earthquake waves coming from, if you like. This is in the Catholic Church in Potenza. Another thing he used to do in his research was he used to estimate the way the statues had turned, or the torque that had been caused by the earthquake, to find an idea of where the shockwaves came from and how strong they were, you know.
Mallett spent weeks recording the minutiae of the devastation. At the end of it, he came up with several things. One was the first ever seismic map.
These lines are all areas where they join together places that he estimated to have the same sort of level of destruction. We call these isoseismal lines.
Those lines helped Mallett figure out where the source of the shockwaves were. And he came up with something else. A new word.
The word epicenter is one that we attribute to Robert Mallett. Also, the word, of course, seismology, and all the seismo words. I mean, this work was a revolution in its time, and one that hasn't been surpassed, I would say, in terms of its insight into earthquake destruction. Here we see the areas that he's mapped all of the earthquakes for in relation to Italy, and then right down into Greece and into Turkey. Nowadays, of course, we know that the great African plate is colliding with the North European plate, and that's what's causing the earthquakes. But of course, Robert didn't know that at the time. But nonetheless, he was on the right track and very near coming to the whole notion of plate tectonic theory, which wasn't going to be enunciated, if you like, until about another 100 years.
Robert Mallet's work made him a household name in southern Italy, even to this day. But he's relatively unknown in his home country. So who was this man who blew up this beach and changed the way we see the earth? Mallet was born in 1810 in Capel Street in Dublin to a wealthy engineering family. As a child, Robert was fascinated by science, in particular chemistry.
He had this his own little laboratory where he would disappear off for hours, and occasionally when he'd be naughty, his punishment would be to be locked out of his laboratory, and this used to drive him crazy. They put a lock on the door, so that shows you he was a bit unusual child, you know.
The Mallet family had a foundry on Riders Row, just off Capel Street, and when Robert graduated from Trinity College, he became an engineer in the family firm.
So they made all these beautiful gates that you see around Trinity College there on Nassau Street. If you look very closely, you can see Mallet at the bottom of that. And they also were large-scale engineers. They built things, they built bridges, and they fixed the roofs of churches. And they were the engineering company in Ireland at that time.
He led the life of a Victorian gentleman. As the company did very well, he had more time in which to travel quite a bit, which people did of his standing in society, and to fulfil his desires in terms of scientific research.
Mallet's research interests were extremely varied.
One of the things that he made in Ireland that people don't even realise is Fastnet Lighthouse.
And he became involved in the Royal Society of London, where he became friends with people like Charles Darwin.
He was really, I suppose, the last of the Renaissance men who were at home with mathematics and science and with culture as well.
Mallet moved to London in 1861. In the mid-1870s, he started to go blind, and he died there in 1881. And although he passed into relative obscurity, every time someone like Tom Blake talks about seismology or listens to a recording of an earthquake, like this one here, which happened in 2004 and caused a tsunami in Indonesia. Every time we do this, Robert Mallet's legacy lives on.
I'm so proud of Robert Mallet.